Let's start by singing. We'll do something a little bit different, and that is, you see the numbers on the board. We'll sing the first three hymns right in succession. So I'll go down and start playing. You stand up, and we'll sing all three, and then we'll go on with the message. Please rise.
Hey.
Believe it or not. Have you ever heard that statement? Believe it or not. Well, to believe something, according to the dictionary, it says to accept as true or real, to have faith, confidence, to trust. When you came in here tonight, you turned in front of one of these chairs and boom, sat right down. Perfectly trust. Right? But can we say, do we have half trust? Did you come in and kind of put your hand on there and say, well, I think it might hold me, and then sit down? No, the kind of trust that we need is the kind, just like I said, about coming in and sitting right down, really trusting. Well, we believe, and really we say we believe things, but do we say believe it or not? That's the question. And I thought we'd go over a few things that we believe around here, we talk about here, just to examine and perhaps find out a few things. And what I'd like us to do is turn in your hymnals to Roman numeral 12, if I know my Roman numerals right anymore, called the Apostles' Creed. And let us recite it together, paying attention to each word. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended unto hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, help us to draw near to thee this night. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to be more like thee, that we may bring forth honor and glory to thy holy and perfect name. For, Lord, without thee we can do nothing, and we are of little faith. So improve our faith, strengthen our faith, strengthen our love for thee. Make us a blessing to thee, moment by moment, day by day. For I pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at that Apostles' Creed a minute. We don't often recite it around here, but yet it's in our hymn book, and we do recite it once in a while. But let's just take a little close look at it once. It says, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Do we? Or not? Do we or not? Do we really believe in him? Well, I tell you, when you get as old as the preacher and I, then you start thinking about this kind of stuff a little bit stronger. A little bit stronger. Do I really believe? Is God Almighty? Am I going to see him face to face? Do I really believe that? We should. It says, God the Father Almighty. When we say Almighty, what does all mean? It's all inclusive, isn't it? Everything. If I say I like this whole book, all of the hymns in it, I meant just that, all of it. And God is Almighty. It says, maker of heaven and earth. Well, if you pick up Popular Science or one of these other magazines or even watch television, what little there is on there, it's worthwhile looking at. Do mankind in general believe this, that he is maker of heaven and earth? Yet this time of year is a good time to question that, to look at that. You walk outside, you don't even have to walk outside. You can turn to a corner. Man can make artificial flowers, but he can't make a daffodil, a true daffodil. And when you stop to think that every last thing in this room, including us, was nothing but dirt. Nothing but dirt. Even this Klavanova over here. A lot of it was sand. It's got transistors in, I'm sure. Dirt. The metal of the lamp. True, it was ore, but it was still dirt, wasn't it? Amazing what God hath done. And it says, again in the Apostles' Creed, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. We believe around here that Jesus Christ was God's only Son. And our Lord. Lord. The one who has rule over, right? If I lord over you, what am I doing? I'm ruling over you, am I not? But that's what it means. Is he lording over us? In the sense that he is ruling our lives, day by day, moment by moment? Do we believe it or not? And it says, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. We say we believe it. We say we do. Well, you say, well, how in the world can a person be born of a virgin? How can man be created like Adam was? God is almighty. He did suffer under Pontius Pilate by God's permission. He was crucified. His body was dead and buried. He descended unto hell. Oh, there's a word there. It's called hell. We say we believe it. Or not? Do we act like it? Do we think like it? Do we go about our lives as though we believe it? Do we think about it? He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He ascended into heaven. They saw him ascend into heaven. It's in the book. It's written, they saw him go up into the clouds, into heaven. Believe it or not. And again, there's that word, God the Father Almighty. Those words. He says, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Just on the computer the other day, I don't know how many of you saw it. They were questioning whether, is he really coming? And that's been a question for, I won't say thousands and or millions of years, like some people would. It's been quite a while. But we forget that God is almighty, and God does not go by what he set up for man. Like it says about time, about 1,000 years is one day. Can you comprehend that? I can't. But when Jim goes in here on the computer and talks about gigabytes, hey, that's like the government talking about how much money they're spending. So his ways are not our ways. He is almighty. He spoke and the worlds began. He spoke and the storm ceased. is Almighty. Do we believe it or not? It says, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I don't think there's anybody here tonight, for the most part, who would disagree with that. Would you? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, those who were predestined before the foundation of the world. We believe. Or not. Forgiveness of sins. Praise God for that. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Believe it or not. So let's go on from there. Let's go on to, let me see here, Matthew 26 to 30, I think I have it here. Now that goes into the some of the commandments. How many commandments are there? Or you ask the average guy on the street if he even knows anything about commandments at all. Oh, let's say, huh, 10. Well, we know that there are many more. And let me see where I was here. Oh, we come here to where I'm taking off a little bit on where the preacher was about this business of salt. I'm going to want salt, you know, so I have to get into some salt. But let's look at that subject a little bit. If we are the salt of the world, like we said before, we have to, for salt to do something, it has to be part of it. You can't make the soup taste right unless you put the salt into the soup. So, let's look at some of our actions and see if we are being salty. Way back, probably, yes, before we even were part of the startup of this church, my wife and I, under this subject of the pamphlet here, and before we even saw that pamphlet, we took a hard look at this holiday called Christmas. And we said, well, we look down the street and it's Sunday. What's that guy doing out there mowing his lawn? He just went to church. Oh, there's a guy up the street, he's washing his car. Oh, there's another guy, he's up on the ladder painting his house. And it didn't make sense. Called themselves Christians. Can we be as salt and do such things when the Lord's day is pointed out to be a day of rest to us? That's one example. The other example might be is where it says, thou shalt not steal. And I'm working in a factory. Lots of nuts and bolts around. Whole bin full of them over here. I could use about 6 of those for my project at home. Walk over to the bin, pick out half a dozen or so, stick them in my pocket, go home. The only thing is that unsaved Joe over here in the corner saw you do that. And he also saw you come out of church on Sunday. What kind of salt is that. And here's our neighbor. Just come home from the hospital. And he's gloomy. He's, what do we call it? Down in the dumps, we used to call it. How's our light? Do we shine for him? He knows what, every Sunday he sees our car go out, and they go to church again. But does he hear anything from us? Does he see any action from us in light of this? Like verse 15 of chapter 5 says, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house? Well, now we're told that we should get rid of our incandescent light bulbs and go to fluorescents and so forth to conserve power. But do we need to conserve power as far as letting our light shine before men? Now, let's go to, let me see if I have the right here. Yes, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where it says, and onward, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's just stop right there, first of all. We believe when we pray, who do we pray to? Well, it says here, I just got done reading it. Pray ye. Who's saying this, pray ye, anyhow? Is not the Lord Jesus Christ saying this is how you're supposed to pray? Isn't this one of the rules, how you do it? For those of us who have computers and still have hair, if we go in and we see an address and it starts capital B-E-L-I-E-V-E, and we punch in small letters, B-E-L-I-E-V-E, where's that going to get us? The computer says, I need a capital letter there for this to go through. Here, I wonder if some of the same thinking does not apply to the Lord's Prayer, where he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I wonder if they're not the God's computer way of saying, this is how I want to be addressed. That's me. If you want to talk to me, call me by my right name. Just a thought. And you notice it doesn't say, Hail Mary. Mother of God, I want to do this, but do this for me. Or Saint John. I lost the nail on the floor. Help me find it. I had a guy do something similar that once when I was fixing something in his house. He says, pray a little prayer to St. Jude so I can find that part. So, again, believe it or not, that's the way he says it. And I think if we want to do things right, we got to follow the instructions. We have to follow the instructions. And that's one of the instructions that not just an apostle gave, they're the Lord Jesus Christ words as far as telling us how to pray. And he's saying, give us this day our daily bread. Are we worried about the economy? Are we worried about stock, bank accounts, and so forth? It says, to who the Father you're supposed to say, give us this day our daily bread. Meaning, feed us. Make sure we get fed. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. hard to do sometimes. Now, not debts here, I don't think means just monetary just debts. That guy there gypped me out of $5,000. He might have done something for him, and he says, okay, I'll help you cut down that tree. Never comes around, that tree's still standing. That's kind of a debt, isn't it? So how are we looking at these things? It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. When we have time of prayer, it seems like that's something that shouldn't be left out of one single prayer. Why? How many go through this life without being tempted? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Evil is all around about us. Evil is all around about us. And it's not just like the forms of the recent story to be right up to date of the pirates on ship. By the way, I don't know if you people heard it or not, but that captain was rescued today. So, and people were saying the answers were prayer. Their prayers were answered. So they were giving God some credit anyhow. But there is, I used to think that, no, pirates, that's something back there where they used to walk the plank for crying out loud and had sails over your head. They're out there today. Out there taking ships, taking hostages, demanding ransoms, killing people. Well, three of those pirates got killed. All right, what else can we look at? Oh, I know something we can look at. If I find it here quickly. Again, in this wonderful book of Matthew. I just got done reading it here not too long ago, through for another time. It's got a lot of stuff in it. And when I get down in the dumps, like I mentioned before, I like to go to that book called Psalms. It has a lot of uplifting things. Matthew 26. Let's see what verses we need here. Looks like 26 to 30. Yes. Where the Lord Jesus says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Do you want to take a look at those words? In verse 26, he says, take, eat, this is my body. Now, there are churches today, I think you each know, that believe in what they call it, transubstantiation or something like that, where they believe that the actual bread is body, and the wine is actually blood. Let's go back to the beginning. What's it say here? He says, take, eat, this is my body. But he's standing right there in front of them, handing them this stuff. How can it be his body? Now we know that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he is, after his resurrection, he could walk through the doors with it being closed. But in this case, he still had his earthly body. So is it that, or is it a symbol? It's a symbol. This is what we believe. And I think the proof is right there. And the same goes if you go down. When he took the cup, drink ye all of it. We think that means all of you drink it. It says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Again, he's standing there with his earthly body. And we know he shed was blood on the blood was shed on the cross. But what's it say down here in the next verse, verse 29? He says, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this, what? Fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. You know, I probably read that many times, but just until recently did it hit me. He's talking about fruit of the vine. He's not talking about literal blood. Again, it's a symbol. And there's the proof. Believe it or not. And so, let's see what else we can look at here. Oh, yes, this is business like today, so-called Easter. And I don't know if you remember or not, but one of our presidents, I forget which one it was, he made the statement about fuzzy math. Anybody remember that? That's fuzzy math. Well, you get fuzzy math to get 3 days from Friday till Sunday. If he died Friday night, and he rose Sunday, the first day of the week, how do you get 3 days there? And again, as far as this observance goes, how come it's on this date this year, and it was another date last year? And next year, if the Lord tarries, it'll be on another date. Now, we believe in the Lord's Day, and we believe and remember him, like he says here, this do in remembrance of me, as oft as you drink it. So around here, we do it every other month. Some may argue and say, well, that's not enough. Others may say, we don't need it that much. But as elders, and I guess ever since we began some 40 years ago as this group, that's what we decided on. It's every other month. And we don't believe in, if Joe Jones is out here with a busted leg and can't navigate, can't make it into church, that we take the communion out to him. Because, as we call it, communion, it is communion. We commune together in the Lord's presence with his people. And is it necessary for salvation? Some preach it is. We don't. So why worry about the guy out there with the broken leg having communion? What he probably needs is prayer. And so forth. Let's see what else I have here. We have 1 Corinthians 11, 1 to 14 for some reason. where it says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered to them to you. For I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but that the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power of her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it commonly that a woman pray with unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?" Some very interesting things there. Of course, we know that a woman was created for man. They're nice to have around once in a while. Actually, all the time. So, what we go along with or believe is what the Scripture teaches here. It is for the worship is that the women be covered, their heads be covered otherwise too. So, this is another one of those things, believe it or not, but it's in the Word of God. And so, as we go through different things, we know that the Lord said in 1 John 4:15, let's see if we can find that without wasting too much time. John 4:15. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." So, it has to be believe, not half believe. As we said in the beginning about the chair, he said, "But this can't—you can't be a half believer." "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." But it has to be a true belief. And the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Doesn't say about which ones. It's keep my commandments. And when we don't keep his commandments, he is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins. Well, before we have comment, let's sing another hymn, number 666. Pay attention to the words. They're very interesting.